formations. Move to that section. I get to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it means. Okay? Because I realize that I have a trait called impatience. I do. Really. Impatience. And I'm really good at handwriting. And for some reason, because I'm really good at it, they think every stroke they've ever seen on any piece of paper around the planet, I should know what it means.
No.
And it's annoying that I don't know at all. It's annoying to myself. So, and I... You annoy me enough, so I don't want to annoy myself on top of it. Because now I'd be annoyed all the time.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Go to the last section where you've got the blanks here. And this is what this is for. And I've never seen this stroke in a book that I can remember, but you know what? I bet Joe has, and I bet Jerry has, and I bet these guys have. So, every time from now on the seminar, you ask me an inane question that I don't have in my book, and I say I don't know, we're going to turn to the stroke formation, you're going to write on the board, and then you're going to give me your opinion, and I get to sit back and let you do all the work. How's that? This is a pretty long section. This is a section which is very analytical. There's no graphics with it. It's the process we just went through. We want to be on the stacked traits section, which is what? Section three. And if your book's not turned sideways, I know you're not looking at the right section. There you go. Now, what this basically means, let me just describe how to use the book, because this is not a section of the seminar that you're going to walk by and go, great, I memorized it, I got it, I understand it. What I want you to do is learn the process of stacking traits. And then use the book as a reference manual to begin the process. Because this stuff, I made up myself. I took other books on stacked traits, I looked at them all, I thought, well, I agree with some of this, I don't agree with some of this. And then I thought, well, what's a great methodology to teach you this? And you will probably add to these lists, which means this is a fluid piece of reference material. This means that it may not be perfect. Is it okay not to be perfect? I'm going to accept that challenge because I don't want to be. So, I've added the best I could of what I think, based on my knowledge, would help us get more toward this personality trait or farther away from it. So let me describe how it is real quick. So here is the trait name. At the very top of the graph, here's what we're looking at. Comment on whether the person is argumentative in the letter P. Well, that really weakens your case because the knife is missing. The murder weapon's missing. What else do you have to make this person argumentative? Well, I got a couple things. I have the fact he's analytical. Well, Mr. Baggett, analytical itself does not make a person argumentative. Okay, well, he's analytical, but he's also talkative. Okay, I could see why that might make someone a little argumentative. Anything else? Yeah, he's impulsive. Okay, I guess so. And here's the thing, he's irritated. He's always annoyed. And he's analytical, and he's talkative, and he's a sarcastic individual. And the person may go, okay, I can see, you know, you're starting to convince me that he might be argumentative. But what else? Well, he's a little domineering. Oh, he's got to win. What about stubbornness? Would that make him more argumentative? You bet. Argumentative is the exact same trait. Argumentative is the P and then the T. Same trait, different zone. Okay? Now, but the judge says, wait a second. I agree with you. All this stuff makes him argumentative. But guess what? He's self-conscious. That's going to make him less argumentative, isn't it? Why?
He doesn't want to call attention.
Call attention.
He's afraid of looking like a fool. So you have all this evidence that he's guilty, and then you have a couple of pieces of evidence that says, no, he's not guilty. This is the process of advanced trait stacking. It may be gray, just like the law. You may find yourself going, ooh, little this, little that, which is it? That's when you ask the client, hey, this is what I see, I'm not sure, you know. If I'm talking to an HR person, I'll say, here's the things that I think this is good about the person. Here's the thing that's made, you know. One of the questions was, is this person going to be late? I don't know if he's going to be late. There's no trait that says he's going to be late. There's procrastination, but that doesn't mean they're going to be late. You just list it out. So this is reductive trait. So that means anything that would reduce the probability of that trait being true, you put in that column. You'll notice in your book, if you flip through it, there's a lot of blank spaces in reductive traits. I didn't do all the thinking for you. I just left them blank, and I said, well, nothing's coming to my mind. Maybe you come with something that would be reductive. Okay? So, what else? Politeness. Is politeness a polar opposite of argumentativeness? Usually. So, if someone has politeness, then it's probably going to offset the probability they're going to be argumentative. See how this works? The process is simple. And for years, I got to tell you that I thought the process was not simple. And the only reason is that I couldn't figure out a model to get it in my head that made it click for me. And if this works for you, then I've really done my job this weekend, so you can understand it. Because this is the next level. And it's not difficult. But you have to just understand a process to go, oh, I'll just put it in the category. Let me just build a case around this. And if you think in clusters of positive, negative traits, or you think in clusters of traits with similar ilk, then it becomes very simple. Okay? Let's do a couple. Here's one, inhibited. Two down, inhibited. The I, inhibited. What, there's no stroke to look for. You've just asked a question that's off the charts as far as basic. So what do you think? Okay, let's do that. So what do you think? Now, let's play a context. Is it because you want to date someone inhibited, or do you want to hire someone inhibited? Or do you want to avoid somebody inhibited? Let's say you're hiring a sales position. And I say, you know what? I just don't want anybody inhibited. I'd rather them be a jerk than be inhibited. So what hand are you saying about looking for will be inhibited? Think about it. What it would be? Small handwriting. That would be concentration, right? That would be one element of introverted or concentration. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? You're right. As a single trait, small handwriting does not mean inhibited, but it's a clue. Good job. Leftward slant, right? Especially small and leftward. Yeah, you bet. You bet. Inhibited. Small handwriting. FA handwriting. What else?
Untrusting.
Perfectionistic, right? Maybe they either want to make a mistake, okay? What else?
Don't trust people.
They don't trust people, sure. And antisocial, not antisocial. Antitrusting would probably inhibit someone from interacting with somebody, or at least trusting them. So, good. What else? Sensitive criticism. Yes and no. I've seen sensitive criticism work both ways. I agree with you. Any fear will probably inhibit someone rather than not a fear. So, Megan, I'm going to agree with you. And also, that trait has been weird because I've met extreme extroverts that need your love so much that they become extroverted, they become aggressive because they want your approval. So that trait can go both ways, but I like your thinking process. What else?
Fear of success.
Maybe. More of a long-term thing, but I like your thinking.
Secretive
would be inhibited. Yeah. Yeah, people who aren't as talkative, they make to keep quiet. Or aloof or not friendly. And she just always takes a little time to get to know people. And a glass of wine, and she's real talking. Okay. But I'm saying it's weird because I'm like, I don't perceive her as inhibited and or shy, but other people do. And it's like, well, that's interesting because it takes a little warm-up time. Okay. What else?
How about cautious?
Cautious. That's another inhibition. You bet. Kind of like that side of the room thing. Cautious. What else?
Repressed.
Emotionally repressed. Probably. There's one who I haven't heard yet, the most obvious one I'm thinking of. It's a basic trait. Subconscious, yeah. Someone who has a fear of ridicule would be inhibited. And once they know you, they would no longer have that. And they could be the most extroverted person, but subconscious would hold them back. So any of those traits in any sequence would probably be useful. So what I did in this case is I put the most obvious trait, like the anchor trait, as the bold trait in your book. And then the other ones, the add-ons beneath it. Am I right? I don't know. It's just the one that I thought was the most important or the most sister trait. Now, here's a word I coined called sister traits, meaning here's a trait called stubbornness. A sister trait would be argumentativeness. Does that make sense? They're not alike, but they're related. And then related in stroke or related in meaning. So I love making up words. I should write a book. So I put the big one there, and then I put the other subcategories underneath that. So that's the logic. It's like, well, what's the most obvious sister trait? So we don't have inhibited as a trait, but what's a sister trait? Self-consciousness. That's about as close to sisters I get. Let's start with the sister, and then move down to the... that sounds really strange.
Yeah, sounds weird when you say it.
It's like Elvis. But you have a song about dating two sisters or something? I'm not old enough. You're too. Somewhere in between. Now, what would be a reductive trait to inhibited? You've done a great job. Let's move on to
aggressive.
Aggressive, right. So if they're aggressive, that would counteract inhibited, or the opposite of. So what's the opposite of inhibited? Aggressive, great.
Impulsive,
correct?
Talkative.
Yeah, that would sort of all, yeah, because that's by definition, they wouldn't be as inhibited.
Open-mindedness.
I think I would go with that as well. Good.
Argumentative,
maybe, sure. Pride. I think pride would be a supportive trait, don't you think? Because if you're gonna not take action, would pride make you take action or not take action?
It depends on the situation.
Yes, you're right. It could go either way on that one. Yeah. Yeah. My initial thought was, if they're prideful, they have a fear of looking stupid, so they might not, like someone like, I'm just going to look good and not say anything.
Maybe
like,
vanity is more on the inhibitive.
Maybe.
Sister.
Yeah. And I know vain people that are obnoxious because they want attention. Isn't it complicated? Well, I welcome.
Enthusiasm. The long T's.
Enthusiasm would probably reduce inhibition. You bet. Now, a lot of people, they use inhibition as far as like sexually. Like, well, who's sexually inhibited or not? Well, it's the same conversation, you know? You're just going to have more of a trusting context to find out what that's going to be like. And also margins. You didn't mention margins. Very important. And I believe it was Beth, she bought the home study course, right, level 3. She went online and downloaded the entire classic home study course recorded in Dallas with the PDF files. And the reason I mention that is because we don't ship the manuals anymore of the old course. I don't know if we do or not. But it's not packaged like the Big Nice course because it's the classic course. There is a really interesting graph about all the margins in that particular handout book. And she was telling me she just loves those seminars. It was when Kurt and I, when we were a little racier, we weren't so politically correct as we are now.
Whoa.
I'm correct, aren't I? It is a little racier, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of...
You're constantly... Okay, get back on track. Yeah.
I'm pulling back in a little bit, yeah.
Everybody's going crazy.
Yeah, it's a very entertaining course. And if you have the level 3 course, it's a free bonus with it, but you download it. There's a good discussion on margins, and it goes through that margin there. But inhibited, by definition, really large margins would be inhibited, opposed to no margins at all, which would be much more, less inhibitive would be a good word to it, okay? Now, I'm going to go through this just real quick, but I don't need to go through all of them because I just want you to know the process. And then what I do is say is start thinking process-wise. So let's go to jealousy. This is one that anybody in here single or married, any relationship, obviously, jealousy would be a trait that would be kind of a negative trait. You know, especially if you're trustable or you're trusting. And if someone has jealousy, that this becomes completely intolerable and annoying and sad, quite frankly. So, jealousy loops I don't see very often. It's not a trait that I see. Yet, people complain about jealousy constantly. Whether it's just on the soap operas or TV, but generally it's a reoccurring emotion on people. So, my mind wouldn't make any sense if people are constantly having this emotion called jealousy, but the single so-called jealousy doesn't appear in many people's writings. There must be other indicators of jealousy. I recently read a book about the definition of jealousy, and it says jealousy is a process that someone's imagining something happening with no proof and has a negative emotional reaction to that imaginative. So if you picture your wife or husband sleeping with somebody else and have no proof, and you run that movie over and over in your head, you can't help but have a negative emotion. So it's not so much the fear of losing as much as the process of running a picture. But my definition was, and still is, jealousy is a fear of losing something you love, especially with regard to person. Envy would be an immaterial thing, jealousy and envy. So if you don't have jealousy loop, what would be the first thing that's the critical part of being jealous? What is it?
Heavy pressure.
Well, yeah, because you definitely have heavy pressure. Good, but that's not on the chart. It's perfect. Write that down. So write that down, heavy pressure. The first part, as far as the commonality, is very analytical. People that are overanalytic or analyze situations. Where is she? What's she doing? Who's she talking to? Who called? Overanalytical. Analytical is a good trait. I mean, how can you argue that being analytical is a bad trait? Unless you're a woman and the guy's always analyzing, trying to solve your problems, but he just wants to sit and listen like Dr. Phil. Okay.
Far forward slant would be
So more impulsive means that they'll jump to conclusions without the facts because their heart gets. So E plus writer would be more of a jealousy. Correct. Now, envy is on here. Envy relates back to an earlier advanced primary trait. Again, I don't see that much as a single trait, but see how it stacks here. Because it will be a sister trait to envy. So you almost have to include it by definition. The reason it's not number one is because I just don't see it very much. So it's the 3-4. By the way, these are not all or nothing. And these are not, you can have the first two and not the first four. It's any combination of these could connect to it. Possessiveness, sure. Absolutely, that would be a sister trait to jealousy. Socially selective or not trusting. I guess that would relate to the fact that if someone generally doesn't trust people, they probably have a reason in their past not to trust people. And if that has anything to do with betrayal, it's gonna pull that trigger. It's gonna set that emotional anchor. It's gonna set off those feelings of insecurities. Resentment, very key. Any sort of anger or resentment at life would then relate to somebody projecting somebody hurting them. Because if you're angry, you project other people to be angry. You know, if you're cheating, you project that other people are cheating. Like there's a connection with something called projection in psychology that would be true. So resentment and self-image. Now, if your self-image is really high, what is the odds of you feeling very, very jealous? Not so much. If you have honesty and trust and you have a good self-image, you're probably not going to have the excessive feelings of jealousy compared to if you had a low self-image and you didn't have communication. You know what I mean? So self-image is key. That doesn't mean you couldn't have a high self-image and still have feelings of jealousy, right? Because you get attached. But in general, the higher the self-image, the less you're going to feel threatened unnecessarily. Now, one thing about jealousy, the word, I don't include jealousy having hurt feelings when someone is cheating on you. That is, I guess technically it could be jealous, but that's like justified. I consider jealousy like unjustified worry about losing. Does that make sense?
Something hasn't happened.
You're worrying about it. You're concerned about it. If someone cheats on you and the private eye says, look, she's cheating on you, now you have hurt or betrayal or other emotions they're solid, valid emotions that any human would feel, opposed to emotions that you're making up that may not be necessary. You know. Okay. I can't wait to hear whatever you have, because she's a clinical hypnotherapist, so she deals with this stuff all the time. Basically, you deal with people's emotions, and they come to you and say, I have an emotion I can't handle, and she has to ascertain whether it's real or imagined. You know, if they're in an environment where obviously their husband is cheating on them every day, you know, you've got to get them out of that environment. But if their husband being, you know, loyal, then you have to work through the emotions. So, are you speaking to the air, Mark?
No.
Oh, gosh. Interesting. A nagging, another trait which I just find charming. Nagging. Mitzi, is there a single stroke that means nagging?
No, but it could have a dagger in it.
It could have a dagger in it, you bet. So nagging, describe a nagger. Let's describe someone who nags. Have you ever dated somebody that nags, or a husband, or son, or son-in-law, or mother-in-law? Mother-in-law. Somebody's got a mother-in-law in here that nags. Sharon?
I say, or mother.
Or mother. You have a mother that nags?
Well, that's what my husband said. We were driving
about
home.
You or about
no,
your mother?
No, and he loves my mother. And
except that she's a nag.
After 25 years of our marriage, we're driving home from their house, and he says, you know, your mother can be a nag.
That's cute.
And he loves her, but she's okay. Hypercritical, analytical, and... Yeah.
Yeah. Let me use an example here. You have somebody. This is a great process. You have somebody in your life that you know nags. Mm-hmm. You see her. What color hair does she have?
She's prematurely gray.
Is she round? Is she rotund? Is
oh,
she little?
She's got a beautiful figure. She's a beautiful woman.
She's about 60. She's 80. So you're getting a picture of this woman. Now, what's her voice tonality? Is she one of these, like, you know, Jewish nags? Like, oh, come on, the David, come on, clean up the name. Or is she more of like, you know?
You don't want her to sing.
Singing is bad.
Singing is very bad. And She has a higher tonation
kind of
being a little whiny.
A little whiny, okay, why is that, I'm trying, so what I want you to do is get a visual of what she might look like. Now let's describe some of the traits. You did a good job describing first two, but let's keep going. You said analytical,
hypercritical.
Critical. What else would be a sister trait to critical?
Perfectionist.
Opinionated. What else?
Positive. She's right or wrong, she is positive.
Positive. So not optimistic, but certain.
Stubborn.
Like certain positive. Great. That's why I hesitated.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's why I didn't use the word positive in the basic course, because positive sounds optimistic and,
yeah,
and good versus being affirmative and or determined or
confident.
That's the right. It's not a word. We're trying to find the right word. I think certain is the best word. It's
right.
Certainty. It's a fake certainty. That's
yeah,
what it is. Certainty.
Right.
Cool. So certain. What else? I'm thinking sarcasm. You didn't say sarcasm.
She doesn't tend to be too.
Well, see,
sarcastic.
Sarcasm is opposite than certainty. So I agree with you. She probably didn't have that. So nagging is sort of just like pushing, right? Pushing.
A little, like a thing under the fingernail.
She's a splinter in your life, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But she, you know, she perceives herself as being very, very, very nice and nurturing. Okay?
Yes.
And all this is helpful. I'm helping you.
Yes. And
you
she,
got it?
And she is. Maybe they're just being stubborn because they're not
pleasant. Maybe. But guess what? Nagging is not overtly cruel. It
right.
Usually
oh,
has a sort
helpful.
Of covert hostility about it,
mm-hmm.
rather than overt. You know, I'd rather have someone just say, "Yeah, I hate you."
Right.
I mean, at least they're. I gotta tell you, New York is sometimes more pleasant to hang around in because at least you know they don't like you. In Los Angeles, they smile, they shake your hand. My people will call your people, and they walk off, and you call them, and they never call you back.
That's right.
It's a little bit phony compared to New York. Like, yo, no. So nagging. So again, nagging. Again, not a horrible trait, but it can be annoying. But here's the listing of what we've come up with so far, according to the textbook, which you are free to add and delete at your will. Irritability. That's the thing we didn't mention. If someone's irritated, that would make them more likely to take action to fix the irritation. Analytical. Talkative, resentment, argumentative, stubborn, sarcasm. Now, those are the traits that are supportive. What are the reductive traits? Let's take a picture of her mother. Well, what traits in her handwriting will make us reevaluate and not call her a nag? Wait, it's not right, it's not right. Whoa. Oh my God, what? Oh, I can't call her a nag because I see this. What is that?
Very friendly, diplomacy, generosity.
Garland connections, right. And she may have some of those.
Yeah. Oh, she does. Because
she's not always an egg.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
What about sense of humor? What about sense of humor?
I would think sense of humor would be a real asset as a reductive trait to nagging because you can... I'm very playful. And I can pick on you being playful and not get offended, but if I wasn't funny, it would just be plain offensive. So humor really diffuses any sense of hostility and or dominance. So if you can be funny, you could probably get your point across easier than being a nag. Because there's nothing funny about nagging.
Would this be dominance or domineering?
I think it's more domineering, but I think it could definitely fall in either category.
It goes
either way. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think it has something to do with being an egomaniac, too, that you think that you're the only one that knows how to do something?
I think there's a certain amount of arrogance in nagging. I know that my mother was this way, but my very best friend, and I was I didn't mean to be offensive when I said the Jewish mother, but David's mother, they're Jewish, and they would have these conversations over dinner that I've never heard. They would just yell at each other, and they'd be like, "David, I told you to get the trash on. It's your mom to get out of my room. My mom's like, thank you." And they have this sort of high pitched, sort of they're from Texas. They have this kind of New York sort of Jewish feel to them, and I always felt uncomfortable. He's like, "We always talk to each other that way. We're not yelling, we love each other." And that was sort of their demeanor. But it was a sort of arrogance that David's mother always knew what was best for David.
Mm-hmm.
You should go to medical school. So it was an inherent arrogance there that was, of course, met with inherent defiance from a teenager. You know. So I think arrogance and I know it all, but that's sort of the whole mother-son. I mean, you do know it all when they're zero. At what point do you realize that they're an adult, you know? You know, The answer is yes, and I think it's normal. It's a normal parent-child relationship at some point to let go of knowing it all. So that being said.
And you really do need the arrogance, I think. When I think of arrogance along with nagging, I really think you need the arrogance in there. I think that's really important to the notes.
Good. Let's add it. Let's write arrogance right there to nagging. Okay. Now, I got a question. Is it okay that this book is flexible so you can add and delete to it?
Yeah,
it's
necessary.
Here's why. There is no... Human beings are too complex to make them finite. And every handwriting that you see will have different variations and different density of these traits. So to make a finite book is almost saying, well, here's what you look for. 1, 2, 3. If you don't have it, it's not there. It's simply more complex than that. And what you'll find, I think, is what Bob said, is he's like so excited to be here, and yet now he feels like he's starting over again because so much more information. Bob, you already know 99% of what you need to know to do your job really well. And that 1% just keeps getting bigger, and it feels like 50%. You know, when I first started learning this, every time I sat down to Phyllis or with my father or anybody, I just thought, how am I ever going to learn all these traits? And you never learn them all. You just continue to sort of put them together differently. If you guys have the basic certification course and you guys have gotten to the point of finishing your test, you know what you need to know to be a good analyst. All this stuff is gravy, and all this stuff will help you assemble it and help you get those pieces of paper that you go, I'm totally confused. And you'll find these handwriting samples that you go, I'm stuck. I don't know where to start. And then this is really great that we're here because we can add all these traits to it. But you really will get the fundamentals and the basics. And you really do know more than you think you know. Because most of these traits are things that you already know. They're just variations of them. The resentment stroke, 5 different ways. The little temper ticks, the irritation ticks, they're all very much that way. Okay. Good. Any questions on this? Like, can I scan through here? I'm going to write something on the board here. And we get to go to lunch really shortly. Excellent. Scan through their ostentatious, opinionated. We will revisit this once more before we wrap up the seminar.